This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You gotta widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
All righty, rocking and rolling. Hour number three of our radio program from the Phoenix Convention Center. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We're sponsored today by Werner. Werner, the official ladder of NCAA March Madness and the official ladder of construction professionals everywhere. Reach new heights with Werner, available nationally at Lowe's. And joining us, walking over to the set right now, is the longtime head basketball coach of the Florida State Seminoles. And he, of course, is Coach Leonard Hamilton, kind enough to sit down with us right now and chop it up for a few minutes as we get set for the Final Four that will come your way Saturday evening with Purdue and NC State. And we also have UConn going up against Alabama. Coach, appreciate you giving us a few minutes here. How you been?
Well, it's always nice to come up, hang out with you guys during the Final Four. So, hey, thank you a lot for inviting me.
Let me start you off with NC State. You guys played them towards the end of the season and got a victory up against them. Now the story, it's crazy how quickly it could change. 17-14 before the ACC tournament. They win five games in 5 days, and now here they are in the Final Four. How about the job Kevin Keats has done with his squad?
I think he's done a tremendous job in the climate that we're operating in college sports. To get your guys mentally focus at the right time is very, very important. We have so many distractions that we're learning how to adjust to these days. For him to have somewhat of a up and down regular season, but it says a lot about his ability to relate to the players, to get them all on the same page here toward the end of the season. It's a fabulous job that he's done. Basketball has gotten to the point where there's a lot of parity. So you really don't know what's going to happen from game to game. Most teams are very capable. They are basketball players that have developed all over the United States, and they're all over the place. And so for him to be getting well-heeled and focused at the right time says a lot about him and his staff.
We know DJ Burns is now getting a lot of national attention. He was at Tennessee, then Winthrop, and has landed at NC State. When people talk about him now, they love the personality. They love what he could do on a basketball court. But a lot of people say, we can't really see him going to the NBA. Maybe he should even pursue an NFL career, since you've been able to game plan for him. Just what really stands out to you as a coach when you have to prepare for a DJ Burns?
Well, sometimes you just run into people who have that it factor. And he has the it factor. And the fact that he has unbelievable touch around the basket, great feel for the game, high basketball IQ, soft hands. But he has a unique, unorthodox way of playing. If he catches the ball at the three-point line, he's so big and strong that he can back you down all the way down to the lane. And if you people try to trap him, and obviously he finds open guys all over the place, and they have good shooters, good guys who can attack closeouts. And so he's great in the system that they use, and let's just call it like it is, he's been basically unstoppable going into the ACC tournament and now into the to the NCAAs. And now into the Final Four, he's a handful.
And I hope they let everyone play on Saturday, because between Edie and Burns, I think the officials are going to be a big factor in this contest.
Well, Edie is in a class of his own. You know, he's a very special youngster that seems to have figured out how to utilize his talents to the best of their abilities. And he's a handful, and no one has stopped him in 4 years.
What do you think his ceiling could be at the next level?
Edie?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's easy to see. I mean, he's who he is, and if a coach can come up with a system that fits him, and be also complementary to the other players on the team, I think he's gonna have a special career, because what he does is unstoppable. If he catches the ball, he has unbelievable touch. I mean, there's a guy, I mean, he catches the ball 6, 7, 8 feet from the basket. You know, he's probably shooting 75-80%. And there aren't very many people tall enough or athletic enough to contest his shot. So he's basically sometimes out there on the court almost by itself. You know, that's the way it looks sometimes, because he makes it look easy.
Leonard Hamilton here with us. You've been doing this for a very long time, and people are wondering how everyone adapts to name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal. Where do you think the game is at right now when we navigate those waters?
Well, I think that my approach has been this. Everybody has an opinion, and sometimes people don't agree with opinions. Let's talk about facts. There have been so many NCAA rules that we've dealt with over the years that some work, some work out, some don't. I would just like to see more people included in the decision-making process. Me voicing my opinion about the pluses and minuses of it, I think makes good for conversation, but I don't think it solves anything. Your opinion against my opinion. I like to see more coaches involved in the decision-making process so we can see how what the powers that be think relates to what the guys who are in the trenches think. But because of the process, that very few coaches are ever invited to the party, we have things developing that sometimes is confusing. And I listen to people, we should do this, we should do that, and this would be better, and this would be better than this and that. For as I'm concerned, that's just conversation.
And sometimes, right, these conversations and these rules, it drives coaches away. I'm wondering, a coach like yourself, why do you continue to coach? Why do you keep on going at it?
Well, coaching to me is a lot more than just how many games you win on the court, how many NCAA games you play. I mean, how many Hall of Fames you in, how many Coach of the Year awards that you have. And I got plenty of those. It's about taking teenagers and nurturing them into young adulthood. You don't really understand the success of a coach until you look 4 or 5 years down the road. What are the players that he has coached that came under his tutelage? What are they doing with their lives? Are they good husbands, fathers, neighbors, citizens? You know, what are they doing? I get pleasure when they want to invite me to their wedding. They want me to meet their fiance. They call me on Christmas. They send me Christmas cards. Father's Day. I hear from them on my birthday. That's really my reward. All this other stuff that we're dealing with now, it comes and it goes. Some I like, some I don't. But I'm not going to let it distract me from doing what I think is the most important job that we have, taking youngsters and teenagers and trying to help them grow into the right kind of young men.
I know you got to run. Last thing I want to ask you, Leonard Hamilton, where do you think the state of your program is at right now? Because it wasn't that long ago we saw you consistently in this tournament.
Well, I think I've been affected. I'm not real sure that I've correctly handled the portal, the changes that we've made. And we've built our program basically from within. And I lost 6 players that put their name in for the draft that I didn't expect to live, I mean, lead, to lose, because it just didn't, in my opinion, it wasn't the best decision for them to make. I miscalculated that. And so instead of having juniors and seniors that were freshmen and sophomores, you know, now I'm coaching guys who've been in. One guy on my team this past season was a junior. He's been in our program the longest. So we got to rearrange our thought process, and we have to, you know, develop an approach that's up to date with the current challenges that we have. And if I was a betting man, I'd bet on us.
I like that answer.
We'll figure it out.
Well, Coach, I know you got to run. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
There he is. He's Leonard Hamilton, the head coach of the Florida State Seminoles, joining us on Radio Row. It is the Zach Gelb Show. And I thought it was a very interesting way, in a way that we haven't really heard it before, when you get into the conversation of name, image, and likeness and how we navigate these waters, the coaches do got to have to be included in the conversations more. And you see a guy like Leonard Hamilton, right, who's in his 70s, and you could tell he still has the energy, he still has the passion. You know, I don't know how much longer they're going to afford him the opportunity to do this, but he's still wanting to do this. And he's still wanting to be a head coach in college basketball. And we've seen coaches get up there in age and they walk away. And no problem with it, right? Coach K walked away. Roy Williams walked away. I don't think that's the problem when you have a Roy Williams walk away when you get up there in age. When you have a Coach K walk away who gets up there in age. Even in college football, Nick Saban. Because you could spin it off of, okay, you're getting older and it's just time. But I'll say this about everything that we're navigating with name, image, and likeness in the transfer portal, and I'll say it by acknowledging I'm pro name, image, and likeness, and I'm pro transfer portal. I'm pro with the player having the right to make the decision. And sometimes in college, you make the right decision. Sometimes in college, you make the wrong decision. But the biggest problem, the way that I look at it from coaching right now, is that you have a guy like Jay Wright, who Jay Wright, we all know, is doing a sensational job on CBS. And people at CBS probably aren't going to like that I'm about to say this, but Jay Wright shouldn't be at CBS. Jay Wright is 62, sure. You don't need the stress of coaching. Sure, Jay Wright has won 2 championships. Jay Wright is in the Hall of Fame. Jay Wright is a legend. But when you have name, image, and likeness, and right, the transfer portal, and the ambiguities that come with it, and that's why Jay Wright is no longer coaching, and he could sell to everyone wants, and I know he's talked about it before, so it's nothing new shattering here, but he's talked about name, image, and likeness, and he talked about the transfer portal. When you have a coach of Jay Wright caliber, and Jay Wright probably still being able to give another 10 years of coaching, leaving to go to TV, and not wanting to return to the college game ever again, and the only way Jay Wright would return is to be probably a professional coach in the NBA, and I don't think he's going to do that. That shows you that there's some sort of problem with the system. And like how Leonard Hamilton said it, everyone can have an opinion. Everyone can voice their opinion. Everyone can have an idea of how to change it. But it's not changing in terms of once you open the can of worms, there's not going to be anything that's going to significantly alter what we're doing. I just think there needs to be a way that it could be more controlled. Because there are players that are getting taken advantage of, and they don't even think they're getting taken advantage of. So once again, I'm pro name, image, and likeness. I'm pro transfer portal. I don't have every idea to fix what's going on and everything like that, but I'll reiterate this once again. I look at all the moves that have happened as of late. Coach K, Roy Williams, Nick Saban have no problem they walked away. And they could tell you what they want, and hey, Nick Saban even admitted it. It's because the game's different. Times are different. That's fine that the game's different. That's time that the times are different. But when you have someone that's still younger, like Jay Wright, walking away, that to me shows that there needs to be some change. And maybe 5-10 years from now, this is a non-issue because you'll get accustomed to it. You'll learn how to navigate it. The older guard will then definitely be out of the sport, and you will have guys now like a Bryce Drew, who just joined us, and I know he's at a smaller school in Grand Canyon, but he's been at other stops before, and you have a Bryce Drew who's 49, where in 5-10 years, when Bryce Drew gets to 55, when he gets to 59, he has already dealt with everything that comes in the name, image, and likeness in the transfer portal. And you just get used to it, and it's the new norm. But it's these waters of the next 5 years or so, how you navigate it, and there's going to be more changes to college sports, and you wonder how you just get everything under control. And I can't make this clearer than I've already made it. For years, the problem was the only way the players got paid was an illegal matter. And now they're legally getting paid. Is the system perfect? Absolutely not. But you either have to adapt, you have to adjust, or you sometimes just have to get out of the sport. And if you want to get out of the sport, that's your right. But it's not changing, and it's not going to change significantly. In this door was already opened, and now we know name, image, and likeness isn't going anywhere, and the transfer portal isn't going anywhere as well. All right, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming on back from the Phoenix Convention Center right after these short messages.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You gotta widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
All right, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio inside the Phoenix Convention Center at Westwood One's Radio Row for the Final Four. We're sponsored by Dude Wipes. Still using TP? Dump your roll because wet cleans better than dry. That's just good science. Try Dude Wipes for the best clean. Pants down. All righty. Rocking and rolling, Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I do use that product. It is a very, very good product, and we don't need to talk anymore about what I use to clean what I need to clean, because I could already hear people projectile and vomiting right now on the radio. Santa got a big kick out of that read.
I think we should do the next segment and just talk specifically and solely about what you use in that moment.
I use Dude Wipes.
All right, good.
I'm not lying.
Let's get into the details. Let's hear all of the...
I read a newspaper.
Do you bring a newspaper in?
No.
Okay.
I mean, no offense. I don't know the last time I picked up a newspaper outside the time when we were at the Super Bowl talking to Travis Kelce. We wound up on the back page of the New York Post. It's the last time I picked up a newspaper. Now, if you haven't heard, I know you're an older man. Everything now is digital.
Yeah,
you consume things on these things called a cell phone.
I'm the same way. I've got my tablet or my phone with me in there at all times. I could be there for 3 hours at a time playing my games, watching a movie. But, like, you know, back in the day, people would have, like, a newspaper, and there's that sound of the crinkling in the bathroom. Right?
You know? Do you remember the wrestling superstar Taz, who obviously used to work here at CBS Sports
Radio? Do I remember
him?
Yes.
So Taz and I – oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he worked here for long enough.
You know what? Taz and you, I feel like, would get along very well.
Oh, yeah. Me and Taz were, like, you know, peanut butter and jelly.
No, because Taz didn't really like a lot of people here. And for some reason – I have this ability when people don't usually like a large group of people, that they usually find a way to like me. And Taz, for whatever reason, I only worked with him for like 2 weeks because I filled in two times on that show for like a full week. And Taz and I had a good relationship, all things considered. But I'll never forget talking about reads and commercials and things like this. When... There used to be a sponsor here on the network, and it was Manscaped, and they would just play like a lawnmower in Taz's Manscaped read. And if you don't know what the product is, it's a way for guys to trim, some hair down there.
Certain areas very safely.
That rhymes. Some hair down there.
Yeah. I've used it before. It is prima donna. Mm-hmm. Primo.
Did that rhyme, hair, down there?
Yeah.
I guess it does.
I mean, they're not spelled like they rhyme, but they sound like they rhyme.
So that was the way that all these years ago, one of those reads when we do a Dude's Wipe read, it did kind of remind me of Manscaped as well. All righty, getting back to this Andrew Marchand story, which we delved into to start the show, where college presidents and top executives have devised a super league to transform college football as they believe the current system is doomed and headed for bankruptcy. That's what leaders do tell The Athletic. And this is a report by Andrew Marchand and also Stuart Mandel. So my biggest takeaway, Santa, from the article, and this is just because of who I am as a human being, it wasn't really the giant transformation that we're going to see to college sports. It wasn't really breaking off into one league. It was in the article, the way that this format would work, where it's 130 of the FBS schools, and it'd be basically Division I and Division II, where the top 70 that were the Power 5 schools would be always in the Division I, and you would break them down 10 teams per 7 divisions, and then there would be this 8th division, which would basically be the group of 5, and that could move up and down throughout the years, where if you're a good group of 5 school, you get in with the big boys. If you don't, then you get relegated down to everybody else. It would be the 50 other schools that would remain in practically what I like to call Division II. And I'm reading this article, and I think most people are like, wow, okay, these are changes that people – and nothing's set in stone. Nothing's, like, imminent. But the way that I kind of read it through all of this was there was a line in there where the playoff structure – and it was kind of like a throwaway line where something along the lines of – you know, that means there wouldn't be all these debates with the playoff, and it would be based off standings as well, where the only guaranteed ins would be the eight division winners, and then everyone else, I think, would be by who had the best record. So, like how the AFC North some years sends three teams to the NFL playoffs. Like, if you're in the first division and you have a, you know, after that, the eighth spot's the best record of 9, 10, and 11, there's no set spot for each division outside of the team that wins that division. And when I read that there would be eight teams in the playoff plus another eight wildcard teams, I thought I was going to pop a blood vessel. Like, I was as mad as when you were threatening to potentially push back your seat when you were sitting in front of me on the airplane where there was no need for you to push back your seat. That's how I was so annoyed. But there's a bigger conversation to have here, and I'll get to that bigger conversation in just a second. But I always find it funny on this show how we have the ability to talk about things and then other shows talk about things, or sometimes like today, this Marcos Valdez-Scantling interview that we had that did like half a million views.
Half a billion? Oh my God.
I know we create
Wait
some news
second.
Here, but
hold on.
This Marcos Valdez-Scantling interview that did like 500,000 views on social media, and now every show today and tomorrow is going to talk about it because they were hyping up Aaron Rodgers. Marcos Valdez-Scantling said he was one of his best teammates. But I was listening to our pal Rich Eisen the other day, and Rich Eisen had Larry David on. Did you see this clip?
I saw a few different clips. So I'm not sure exactly which one you're referring to.
Larry David, out of nowhere. I don't know if he's a listener to the show. I am a big Curb Your Enthusiasm fan, and you never know who's listening. But Larry David, unprovoked, randomly, brought up how when you're on an airplane and someone is in front of you, it should be illegal to recline the seat back, that airplane seats should not recline back. So maybe this is a bit on the Rich Eisen show that I'm not familiar with, but I just thought it was very interesting. You don't watch Curb, but that's a part of Curb Your Enthusiasm. When they play that music and then Larry David stares you in the eyes. I thought it was very interesting that out of nowhere, when Larry David was on the Rich Eisen show, he's talking about the seats going back on an airplane.
Yeah, Larry David and I are very good friends. He and I had a very long conversation about the seats going back. You know what? Us shore people don't get a lot of benefits in this world. Mm-hmm. And if being able to have extra leg room because our legs are shorter than yours is one of the benefits, and we can lean our seat back and be comfortable in an airplane,
yeah,
and you tall people have to suffer because, oh no, the seat's going back 2.5 inches mm-hmm. on your super tall legs of you tall people who get all the benefits in the world that can reach anything that we can't reach.
They can also hit our
they
heads
can play
on,
all the
on doors when we walk in.
You know what? Cry me a river. Give us shore people something beneficial to deal with. You tall people get all the benefits, get all the love. So what? You're going to be a little bit uncomfortable on an airplane for 2.5 inches of seat on your knees. That's my new PSA. I throw that old Chase Daniel PSA out the window. This is my new PSA. Tall people complaining to short people about tall people problems. I don't care. Zach, if we're on the same flight on the way back, I'm moving that seat as far back as possible.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw things at mm-hmm. you. I'm also going to flip my like my hood over the
okay.
seat so it blocks the monitor of the screen that you want to watch in mm-hmm. front of you. I'm going to just make your trip as miserable
okay.
as possible because short people deserve some love too.
We have an open producer position here at CBS Sports Radio. That seat goes back an inch. If that seat goes back 1 inch, Stu. Do we know anyone back at CBS Sports Radio that wants to replace Michael Samter?
I think there's a few people back here that would be open to that, yeah.
See,
remember, we are in a room right now with other radio shows. Yeah. It will not be tough to find the new producer.
I will say this. I think the people who want to replace me are more so, not so much they want to take over this position, they just want to get rid of me. So it's more like, hey, we can get rid of Samter? Great!
I was kind of saying that's why you and Taz would kind of get along.
Yeah, there you go.
A lot of people with haters inside of the building.
You know what? Listen.
So can I make an analogy here?
Uh-oh.
For you trying to defend, see, you said it, not me, but short people and how everything skews to taller people.
We like vertically challenged. I can call us short people. You can't call us short people.
You're using my shtick. This is like when I say I can call someone fat because I'm a large man. That's you have twisted.
You used to be able to call
yes.
someone fat. You're not fat anymore, so you can't call someone fat anymore.
Yeah, but I'm still big boned. All right?
Yeah, well,
I'm still a large human
who,
being.
Are you Eric Cartman? I'm not fat and big boned.
I did feel very good, by the way, when I went to the DXL the other day. And they said, you could use this for the tall, but you're not really part of the big
Ooh.
Anymore. And I was like, can you say that again for the people in the back? I was like, high-fiving the guy. It felt great. But I will make an analogy here.
Okay.
You as a vertically challenged person.
Thank you.
You're kind of like defense now in the NFL. there's not a lot of rules that go in your favor. So this airplane back and pushing the seat back is kind of like when an offensive player fumbles the ball and it goes out of the back of the end zone. Why I am a proponent of now keeping that is because that's the last rule that actually benefits and rewards the defense. So I think in some way I have to be consistent. You have kind of now turned my mind around and my thought process on this around where you should have the right to push that seat all the way back.
See, I'm glad I was able to change your mind on the seat back thing, but it's frustrating because I'm so in the opposite direction with the fumble out of the end zone that I don't want that to be
I just played a mind game with you because I know you don't like that.
So now I either have to agree with you about the football out of the end zone or I have to not put my seat back in an airplane anymore. It's a lose-lose. You're like you're playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers. Here I am with my little red checker cubes, you know, whatever, going hopping, and you've got like a queen and a rook, and you're just knocking me off the board.
So our boss, who I guess is still our boss, but he's leaving, and it's like this is a longer retirement tour, even though he's not retiring, than like Derek Jeter or Coach K.
Do you have to give him a gift like they do on all these retirement tours?
No, he's leaving on his own accord, right?
Yeah.
He's taking a different job. He's going to be a host. This is not like he's actually retiring, but it feels like
this
a retirement
tour. This is what the LeBron farewell tour is going to feel like.
So
it'll just never end.
Spike can't stand J.J. Redick. And J.J. Redick now does this podcast with LeBron James. And LeBron was talking how he plays chess a lot. And when he was followed up by it, he's like, oh, well, I don't actually play chess. He was talking about, like, the mind games of playing chess. That's what I was basically doing. I don't play chess, but I do play chess, and I just play chess with your mind.
Well, all right. It's called the Queen's Gambit is what I know about. So there you go.
You put a chessboard in front of me? I wouldn't even know what to do. I would not even know what to do whatsoever.
Note to self, challenge accepted.
So getting back to this Andrew Marchand story, my mind goes in the direction of 16 teams in this format in the playoff, PU, thumbs down. I don't like it. That's what I think.
The entire first segment of the show, when you're ranting and raving about the expansion of the playoffs, like that was the one thing out of this entire story that you picked up. I'm laughing my ass off because I'm thinking to myself, this is the most significant change to a sport that we've seen maybe ever in any sport. This change would change and alter the entire foundation of college football, the way we watch college sports, and everything to do with the sport that we love. And here you are like, I hate college football playoff expansion. I don't want 16 teams.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's so much more here. We're talking about soccer relegation and promotion for the Cooper 5 teams. We're talking about seven other divisions and having teams being like geographically kind of connected together so that UCLA doesn't have to play Rutgers in a Big Ten game, right? This is going to be great. This is going to have the haves and the have-nots. It's going to separate college football from the NCAA. It's going to lead to more money. Players are going to get paid. NILs are going to be regulated. Transfer portals are going to be regulated. I'm like, wow, this is great. This is going to be such a unique and amazing change to a sport that we love. It's not going to devalue the regular season because now you have divisions, and winning the division actually matters because there's seven divisions or eight divisions as opposed to just four or five Power Five conferences. It's going to matter who wins the division. It's going to matter what your record is. It's going to matter all these games. It's going to be like the NFL, not like the NBA. And I'm thinking all these wonderful things, and here you are just like, I hate college football playoff expansion.
Yeah, because it sucks.
Yeah, I get it, but what about all the rest of the stuff?
So all the rest of the stuff, here's why I'm not like as fired up or as passionate as it. Because anyone with a brain, maybe not this way in the relegation idea, I do like that. I think it's fun and it brings more incentive and more fun to the group of five instead of just making it the haves and the have-nots. This is a way of kind of, you still have the haves and the have-nots, but you still give the little guy a
something
seat at
to
the
play
table.
For. And they're playing for something different also because, yes, they can win divisions and get the wild card and get in, but they're also playing to not get relegated.
Sure, but here's the thing, though. I said this years ago. Like when I was working with Hot Take Hickey, we talked about what the future of college football was going to be. And I said two things are either going to happen. You're eventually going to have the Power Five get truncated into the Power Three, where it would be the Big Ten, it'd be the SEC, and then it would be everybody else. Or you were going to have it just be the Big Ten and the SEC, they'd break off together, and then everybody else. Or we talked about this exact idea, not the relegation, that I actually, even though I'm not a soccer guy, I would be on board with this if we're going there that way. But we talked about down the road, college football either breaking away or college football just basically being not including all 130, but 70 or 80 schools that were the Power Five operating under one umbrella. And this idea basically went all the way to the finish line of what the sport will eventually look like. And they just said, let's cut out all this, you know, conference movement and conference realignment that we've seen in the Pac-12 going away and things like that. And nothing of this is official. It's just been floated out by presidents and some other people in college athletics. And they're talking to Marshan and one other reporter. And this would just be going right to the finish line. And you still find a way for everyone to have a seat at the table. But there's just divisions. But there's still a chance for the little guy to jump back in. And then also, it's going to be the scheduling component is my biggest question of this, how the scheduling would work. Because in the way that this supposedly does play on out, it would be 16 teams getting into the playoffs. And outside of the eight division winners, it's not a selection committee that decide the other eight. It's based off record. So if you're playing in, let's say, a tougher division, like how would the breakdown of the divisions go? Like, are we still getting Michigan and Ohio State in the same division? It's things like that. Because if you have these loaded divisions where like Division One and Division Two are the top, let's just say 16 teams, my biggest question then becomes, well, then how many cupcakes are we going to have to see in the regular season? That's just the thing to me that I'm wondering how this is going to play on out. But I'm not opposed to this idea. We just need more facts, and we don't have those facts right now. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We are sponsored by Wendy's, the official hamburger of March Madness. Get a Dave's single for just $1 and a Dave's double for just $2 with their offers in the Wendy's app. Limited time offer at participating U.S. Wendy's. Redeem in the Wendy's app. Account registration required. See offers in the Wendy's app for details. And I think the biggest fan of that rejoin was the head basketball coach at BYU. He's Mark Pope sitting with us right now.
I cannot believe I'm on with the legendary Zach Gelb with the best intro I have ever heard in radio. And
you're making me blush, jeez.
And just to double down on that, Wendy's makes the best burger of all the drive-thrus.
Yeah.
Don't I know you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. I know your wife is sitting over there to the left. She probably would have appreciated when you guys beat Gonzaga and you bought the kids all that food if you guys would have went to Wendy's instead of where you
actually did go. Well, no. Cubby's is a local joint, man.
Would have saved some
Cubby's
money.
It would have saved a lot of money.
Make daycare a little bit more affordable, Coach.
My gosh. I'm pretty sure the owners ran that bill up like crazy, but it was worth it. It was worth it.
Well, I appreciate you stopping on by. Let me first ask you, though, going all the way back when you won the championship as a player with Kentucky, still to this day, just what's the everlasting image for you during that crazy run?
There's so many. It's just so many. I remember we were at the Meadowlands, which was actually the last year they ever had the Final Four in an arena, ever since it's been in a dome. And so it was, the tickets were insane, and there were people packed. And we just drove, if you've been there from the Meadowlands, you just drive across the freeway to our hotel. And from our bus door to get to the elevator in the hotel, which was like 30 feet, it took like an hour and 15 minutes. And it wasn't talking to people. It was just human bodies squished together so hard nobody could move. And it was a brilliant moment of mayhem and joy for Kentucky Wildcat Nation, Big Blue Nation. It was pretty fun.
It's kind of crazy that, because, you know, I live in New York now, and I grew up in New York, and St. John's trying to get on back, and your coach, Rick Pitino, he just can't get away. He still loves this sport more than ever.
Man, and come on, what a gift to St. John's. Like, you just can't think of a more perfect coach to have there, and he is going to crush it. And the reason I know he's going to crush it is because he crushes it everywhere he goes. And so it's going to be a really exciting future for St. John's, and New York is going to go crazy, and he's going to take it there, and I can't wait to see it.
I know this is probably weird for you because you're a coach right now, and that's the coaching fraternity, but then Kentucky is your school, and we'll talk about BYU in just a second with Mark Pope. But Kentucky, the last few years in the tourney, they lose to St. Peter's, and this year they lose to Oakland. A few years ago, they didn't make the NCAA tournament. You see John Calipari. People are wondering if he's still the right guy. With your knowledge of just Coach Cal and the Kentucky program, what are your thoughts on that?
Coach Cal is the right guy. He's amazing. We can't, sometimes you forget how good you have it. And what he's done at Kentucky has been incredible. What he does for the community is incredible. The way he's a spokesman for everything Kentucky is a beautiful thing. The pros that he's been able to put out. And certainly he is not satisfied with the championship runs that, you know, if you know, really at Kentucky, if you don't win the national championship at least 4 out of 5 years, you're going to take a ton of criticism, but he's going to get back there, and I'm telling you, I think he's one of the great coaches to ever walk the sidelines of college basketball, and he's one of the few guys that could go crush it at Kentucky like he is, and I expect in the next year or two he's probably going to hang another banner in Rupp Arena.
Talking to Mark Pope right now, looking back at your season, I know it didn't end the way that you wanted it to with the quick showing in the tourney, but how do you kind of reflect on what you guys were able to do this year?
It was incredible. Like, I mean, I love competing, and I love college basketball, and for us to finally make our way into the Big 12, which has been 107 years in the making at BYU, and to be able to go compete and share that with our fan base, and for our guys to perform at the level that they did when we walked in with you know, the only expectation was that we were going to get buried. And it was just such an incredible year. I will remember it for the rest of my life, what these guys did by bonding together. It was special. And, it bring me to tears really quick. I love these kids, and I love what they did together.
You guys played NC State early in the year,
yeah.
And you guys got a victory up against them.
Yeah.
I know that their program really has taken off, and Kevin Keats has really done a great job in this last month. Did you see signs that that team could do what they are now on the verge of doing, which is playing in a Final Four game on Saturday night?
I definitely saw signs of that, because in the first 10 minutes, we were down 18 against them. And then my guys just turned it on. It was just a three-point barrage to come back and win. But, they have really, really great pieces. They have a veteran leader in the backcourt, really dynamic scorers in the backcourt. Clearly, up front, they got one of the most unique players in all of college basketball. And I love Kevin, man. You get a chance to sit down and talk to him. Of course, he's from the Coach Pitino family, like I am. And I love him, and I love sharing stories with him. And I love this for him because, this is why college basketball is great. A month ago, people were talking about, like, the end of his tenure at North Carolina State.
Now he got a two-year extension.
And a month later, he's an epic legend in the history of North Carolina State. And that's why we love March Madness. That's why we love college basketball.
I know you got to run, but it's been pretty cool this year to see the women's tournament.
Yeah.
And where that's at, where a lot of stars are in the women's game. But in the men's game, people say, the stars aren't there anymore. What do you make of the current landscape of college basketball? Because we are at this Final Four. You got Donovan Klingon of UConn.
Yeah.
You got Zach Edey of Purdue.
Yeah.
The breakout star of DJ Burns. You know, what do you make of the men's game right now with name, image, and like this transfer portal and all the changes?
I love everything about it. I love it so much. And certainly stars attract attention. And it might not be the traditional path of having a star grow through 2 or 3 or 4 years at the same university and college. But what makes college basketball different than the NBA is that we love watching players grow, for sure. We love it. But these fan bases, they're attached to players that come and go through the program and go. But they're attached to their school, man. When I think about Cougar Nation at BYU, I mean, we're the 10th highest attendance in the country. The Rock is probably the best, biggest student section in the country. And that's going to continue on long after I'm not the coach there anymore. And our players go. And so in college basketball, we actually are blessed to be able to go become a part of a university and a fan base that's much bigger than us. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty epic.
The BYU fan, I'll give him a lot of credit. And on a national stage like this, all I'll say is years ago when I was working in the Princeton area doing local radio, I went to a Princeton-BYU basketball game. I couldn't believe how many folks there were that were BYU fans at Jadwin Gymnasium that night.
Yeah, and the thing is, we don't travel great. We're everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, if we rolled here in Phoenix for a game, like, at least half the arena would be BYU fans. They didn't travel from Provo. They live here. we go play at Houston or anywhere else, it's brilliant. We're really blessed with an epic fan base, and it makes it fun to be a part of the program.
Well, Coach, always appreciate your energy. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Zach.
There he is, Mark Pope, joining us on Radio Row. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Great to see you, Coach. Thanks so much for coming on, as always. Love Coach's energy. That dude, he knows how to definitely talk it up and sell a program, and we've been big fans of Mark Pope, obviously, throughout the years and everything that he's been able to give back to the game of college basketball. But you look back, yeah, they were in that Vegas Classic, I think it was, earlier in the year, and they did go up against NC State, and they were able to defeat them, and that was back on November 24th. And think about it. That was on November 24th where they won that game, and 95-86, and you talked about how they were down a bunch early, and then to see the season that NC State was able to have since then, it's once again, I know he was very complimentary to the program and the early struggles that they had in that game, but with NC State, no one, and I don't care who you are and what you claim to know and what you claim to predict, no one would have been able to predict this run of NC State. I think actually one person about a week before they did end up going on this run to the Final Four, where he said in the first weekend, it was Jim Boeheim who talked about what this NC State team could be. And everyone thought he was crazy. But for people saying they're not a Cinderella, I get it, they play in the ACC, right? We know the story and what happened with Jimmy V all those years ago. But this NC State team, they're absolutely a Cinderella. They're 11 seed. An 11 seed making the Final Four. And I ended the conversation with Mark Pope that way because in the women's game right now, there's a ton of stars. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Juju Watkins, Paige Buckets, right? There's so many stars in the women's game. But even with how much we talked about there's not stars in the men's game right now, getting Zach Edey here is big. Getting UConn back with Danny Hurley and Donovan Klingon here, enormous. But then there's always the unknown part of the men's tournament in March Madness. People didn't think Alabama was going to be here. But then getting DJ Burns here is enormous. And I'll end the show by saying this. That game, the whistle is going to decide it. And I just hope Zach Edey of Purdue and DJ Burns of NC State, there's not a lot of foul trouble. That's what I hope in that game, and I hope they let them play. Alrighty, fun show today here inside the Phoenix Convention Center. Big thanks to Dan Silverman, Michael Samter, Manny Rodriguez, and also Stuart Kovacs. Big thanks to each and every one of you for tuning in. Dan Munson, Bryce Drew, Leonard Hamilton, and Mark Pope for stopping on by as well. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.